It's the Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 152. I am your host, Adam Mangum. First up, Matt and I talk about some of the Cougars in the NFL and good news and bad news coming for those trying to make NFL rosters. We also talk about Tom Homo's recent press conference and whether we learned anything or not. Then we preview the big first game against the UConn Huskies. We talk about how Taysom might perform, how much will we miss Jamal, and also our final predictions on both this game and the season. Once again, this is the Rise and Shout Podcast. Catch us on iTunes, catch us at LoyalCougars.com, and of course, listen to us ramble right now. Podcast time, Matt, and we're 4 days away as we record this. 4 days from now, we will be watching football.
4 days till freedom. That's the way I like to look at it.
Real live football.
I don't even know what to do with it. I'm so excited.
I am so excited I'm about to explode, literally.
I will not go to the office on Friday.
Because you're so excited.
Can't do it.
Hey, I can understand that. I can understand that. You're too worked up. You're too psyched. You won't be of any use to anybody at the office.
Nope.
Well, I am on vacation that day. Big weekend for us. We have a kid getting baptized and another one getting blessed. And so parents in town. And I'll be hanging out that day. And then, of course, building the day around the game.
Yes.
But before we get into that, Matt, you and I participated in something very important this past weekend.
Yes, a monumental occasion, one might say.
Yes, very monumental. Fantasy football draft.
Yeah.
This is the annual part of the podcast where we talk about something that absolutely no one out there cares about but us, our fantasy football teams.
But that's part of what is so fun about fantasy football right now, because everybody's talking about their own fantasy football drafts and teams, and nobody else cares about your fantasy football team.
You know what's interesting?
You. People in your league don't even really care.
No, they don't.
Unless you have someone they want and you're willing to deal.
Yes, then they might care. But here's what I'm going to say about my team, Matt. As usual, I feel terrible after the draft.
Yep.
I feel terrible.
That's because you're awful at putting together a draft.
Oh, thanks. How many times have you won the league? Can't remember.
Just the first time we did it.
Yeah, but that was how many years ago?
Hey, listen.
I don't know.
First champ.
A long time ago.
First champ.
That's really nice. Here's the deal, Matt. I drafted Russell Wilson. This was last Saturday night. And then he goes up and puts up 24 fantasy points in a preseason game. I'm feeling kind of good.
Yeah, Russell I feel really bad for whoever ended up with Sam Bradford. Yikes.
Did he even get drafted in our league?
Somebody took him in a late round for like a dollar.
Yeah, well,
I don't think they were expecting to use him as a starter.
Yeah, I can't feel too bad for them. I do feel bad for the Rams, but quite frankly, I don't know that Sean Hill's much is like the same.
Listen.
Really?
I already felt bad for the Rams.
True. But remember the last time, and I heard this must have been on the news, like all over the place. And the last time the Rams had a quarterback, do you remember this? Who the starter got injured? What happened that year?
Yeah, it worked out for them.
Yes, it worked out for them. But Sean Hill, unlike Kurt Warner, where nobody knew anything about Kurt Warner because he'd been playing in the Arena League.
And Sean bagging Hill groceries.
Sean Hill has started more than 30 NFL games. Not quite the same. So, Matt, let's talk about your team for a second before we move on.
Oh, wow. We're really going to do this.
Yeah, you had a theory coming into the draft. There was one player you were gunning for. You kept really? Drew Brees from the year before, which is a good foundation.
I've had Drew Brees every year since we started this league.
Yes, you have, and you've kept him every year since you bought him the first year.
That's right.
Because we do an auction, $200.
That's right. And I will keep him until he is dead.
Until he's dead. That seems too long.
He will sit on my bench after he retires, just in case.
That seems silly. But, Matt, you were going to get Megatron. Did you get Megatron?
We're really going to talk about this? You're going to rub this in front of all of the podcast nation here.
I'm just asking a question. I can't remember the draft.
No, I did not get Megatron.
But you see, I actually think that works out in your favor.
Why? Because our brother who did get Megatron paid an insanely high price for him he and I got in an absolutely ridiculous bidding war because both of us were going in with the same strategy that we will take Megatron at whatever price required.
Yes. And not only did he get Calvin Johnson, he also got LeSean McCoy, and then the rest of his team is terrible. actually Cam Newton is his quarterback. Is Sam's quarterback, but that could be bad as he is got a
He's already got a it's a hairline fracture of the rib.
But I have to say, I look at your team, Matt. You've got Breeze, Forte at your running back, Ray Rice at running back two. Wide receivers are AJ Green and Roddy White. That's not like you came out with terrible wide receivers.
No, it's not a terrible situation.
Your bench is a little thin. Danny Woodhead as your running back three, or maybe it's LeGarrette Blount. As your running back three, depending on the week. And Roy Helu, I don't think he's going to ever play, so I'm not even sure why you drafted him.
I didn't draft him. I picked him up off of waivers because the guy I drafted last was an even worse choice.
So, anyway, I actually think, despite your failure on your strategy, your team doesn't look so bad.
Well, see, here's the deal. I wouldn't say that I failed on my strategy. I adjusted strategy, like I said, when someone else was willing to pay an even more ridiculous price than me for Megatron. But I think overall, I tried to stick with the theme of studs and scrubs.
Yes.
Which is a very common, very popular fantasy football approach. And I think I did okay there. I didn't do quite as well as I would have wanted to. But then again, it's difficult when you're not starting from scratch. You know, in a keeper league, you don't always know who's going to keep who. And so that, you know, when you're making your own keeper decisions, you just don't know what you're going to get.
Yes,
so I think, true, given the situation, I did okay. We'll see how things go as the season progresses.
Yeah, I struck out on wide receivers. I did not get any of the big guys. My starting wide receivers are Pierre Garçon and Michael Crabtree. With Torrey Smith sitting there ready to take over for either of them if they falter. And then I've got basically lottery tickets after that, Aaron Dobson and Tavon Austin, who just had his starting quarterback go out for the year. But my team is built around Jamaal Charles.
Yes.
I kept Jamaal Charles, had him at a pretty good value. And if Russell Wilson breaks out, then I could be competitive. If he does not, I'm probably missing the playoffs for the second year in a row. And only my second time since we started this league, Matt.
Oh man, that's really too bad.
Yeah, it really is.
Should we, before we transition, should we talk fantasy baseball at all, or did you not want to bring that up?
I don't at all. Okay. Just because you made the playoffs. How you doing in the playoffs? Because I don't care anymore.
Are you even looking anymore?
Do you think I care about a playoffs that I'm not in? Like, seriously? Like, I don't care. Even though I'm the commissioner, I don't care.
So the top four teams in the winner's bracket, I was seed number two.
Yes.
And I'm currently beating seed number three, but I'm not outscoring seed number one. So that's going to be tough. If I win this matchup head-to-head, I have to make sure I do what I've got to do to win it.
You still got 6 days, dude. You got to beat. You still got to win your matchup. I wouldn't be looking forward to next week.
Not worried about it. It's going to be fine.
Gonna be fine. Well, you got to beat him because he's one of two non-family members in the league, and both of them made the playoffs. Anyway, all right. Well, let's stop boring people, Matt, and get on to BYU news. Are you ready for this?
All right, I am ready for this.
Related to BYU news, the first thing we're going to talk about, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. Jake Heaps did not get the starting nod at the University of Miami. On a scale of 0 to 100. 100 being super shocked, 0 being I knew this was going to happen. Where does this rate on that scale?
0.
You knew this was going to. We
not
predicted
surprised
it.
Even a little bit.
We
not
predicted
even a
it on the
surprised.
Podcast when he transferred from Kansas to Miami. I said if he starts any games at Miami, it'll be 1 or 2. and likely none. So
here's the problem with Jay Keeps. It turns out he's afraid of defenses.
Well,
and it's really hard. It's that is a difficult thing to overcome.
So, and if you're Miami and you don't think you have a shot at the ACC crown, okay, aren't you going to start the freshman? Right? Aren't you going to develop the guy than this fifth-year senior? Who cares about him? And on top of that, he, by all accounts, Heaps was outplayed in fall camp. You know, and that's too bad. We feel bad for him. Always wished him the best, but kind of saw this coming. But Matt, let's leave former Cougars and go to our favorite segment, Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the Nude!
All right, so some bad news before we get to the good news for Cougars in the NFL. Harvey Unga and Cody Hoffman were both cut yesterday. Bad news.
Yeah, that is bad news. And, oh, I see you're trying to temper the bad news with a delicious beverage.
That my voice was getting a little dry, you know, getting a little scratchy. Not good podcastery, as they say. So, yes, I was starting to buy in the narrative that some of the Washington beat reporters were saying about Hoffman, but the numbers game was always against him. They had a lot of receivers in camp.
Yeah, I had totally gotten on the bandwagon, though. You know, they talk about his height and his reach and some of these things. And I put my BYU, my blue goggles on, and I was on the bandwagon. So I'm a little disappointed about this cut.
Yeah, I am too. I was hoping he would make it. And this doesn't mean he won't make somebody. Somebody else who was thinking to sign him may jump in and do that.
He make some other team very happy.
Yes, yes. Okay, so next item, Kyle Van Noy is hurt, might have a sports hernia, also bad.
Yes.
If he has a sports hernia, he will likely not be in week 1. Could be longer. So we all wish the best for a quick recovery for him.
Yeah, that is not a fun recovery.
On the good news front, from Cougars trying to make NFL rosters, Daniel Sorensen made the first round of cuts for the Chiefs and is listed as the backup to Eric Berry as the free safety on the Chiefs roster. Looks like he may make the team, Matt.
That's pretty awesome.
As we predicted. He's a special team skills, but being also the backup on the 2-deep roster is a good sign. No guarantees, but good sign.
Yeah, I think that he's done even better than, you know, we talked about him playing, you know, playing a good role on special teams, but I think he may see some real playing time.
Yes, I think he definitely could, and certainly if somebody gets hurt or whatever, he's there, and that'd be great.
Yeah.
Also, Ethan Manumaleuna made first cuts on the Patriots.
Oh, when can I get the jersey?
You can get it. Probably you could custom order it right now, but he hasn't. There's still more cuts to come. But the Patriots were in need of some more girth in the middle. So, and certainly Manumaleuna provides size and good athleticism in the middle.
Yep.
So also in the news, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but Tom Homo had a press conference into last week. Great article on loyalcougars.com, of course, which we are affiliated. And let's see, where was that article? I don't know where that article was. Ah, here it is. So on loyalcougars.com, Greg Welch, who also designed our wonderful new logo, Matt, he breaks down what Homo talked about, and we're going to go through this quickly. Number one, BYU's investigation of potential NCAA violations was submitted, and they're expecting to hear back. He doesn't seem to think this is any big deal. Matt, do you?
Nope.
All right, moving on. He also talked about November scheduling with the Pac-12. As you mentioned on the podcast last week, there was the announcement of a new series with Washington in 2018 and 2019, a home and home, and all of a sudden, it seems like we have a de facto agreement with both the AAC and the Pac-12. And with the Pac-12, it's almost kind of like Notre Dame's with ACC, just not formalized.
Right.
So, I mean, that should quiet some folks down. Notre Dame series, he's hoping it happens. But right now, the remainder of that series is up in the air, especially them coming to Provo. Matt, scale of 0 to 100. Once again, 100 being definitely the Irish are coming to Provo, and 0 being there's no chance. Where do you put the chance that in the next 5-6 years, the Irish come to Provo?
40, and I'm really disappointed about it.
Yeah.
I think you... Come on, man. You know, you got slots in the schedule. You're an independent team. You know, but that's just the part of the game, I guess, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, issue number 4, shutting down BYU athletics. Can people stop talking about this?
Is this really still a conversation? I mean, for real?
And because they shut down BYU Hawaii athletics. Come on, guys. Let's just stop. So we'll move on. Strength of schedule, he talked about that. I think we've talked about this ad nauseum on this podcast. The strength of schedule is way better than we would have had we stayed in the Mountain West. End of discussion. He then talks a little bit about the changes coming to NCAA athletics and a little bit about what that means. And basically, if players are going to start getting extra benefits through the NCAA because of the O'Bannon decision, BYU, as he said, will keep up. They may not do it exactly the same way, but they will play ball. Matt, happy to hear this? Thought you'd hear this? Or are you a little worried that maybe we won't be able to keep up with the P5 conferences?
Well, I think what he said was is they would evaluate anything that other schools were doing, and they might not do everything just for the sake of keeping up with the Joneses, I believe was the term he used. But I do believe he's sincere that they will evaluate and do things that they feel like they can and need to do to remain competitive. Right. I don't think we're going to drop ridiculous amounts of money on these kinds of things, but. It's good to hear him say that because in my mind, I was a little concerned that we might not, we might decide not to run with the big dogs. But it sounds to me like we're going to do what we can to be up there with the pack.
Yep. Agreed. All right. So Homo speaks, and as usual on the Rise and Shout podcast, we listen, Matt. We listen.
Yes, we do.
But as Greg said, nothing in there was groundbreaking news.
Yeah, nothing earth-shattering.
No, nothing earth-shattering. So, Matt, it's time to preview an actual football game. Oh, that's right. That is so right. A real, actual football game.
I'm so excited.
As am I, Matt. As am I. So, let's first get to know the Huskies a little bit, Matt. They're terrible.
Yeah, they shop in the Husky section.
They're terrible. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's not... mince words. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, it's Virginia all over again. It's not for a couple of reasons. Number one, these guys aren't as good as Virginia.
Right.
And point two, we're not installing a new offense with a new quarterback.
Wow. Those are two very strong points.
And a third, it's not going to be played in like some type of
strange monsoon
storm.
Yeah. It's not the apocalypse.
Yes. So getting to know them a little bit on offense, the starter will be Casey Cochran, who was actually their leading passer last year, though there were three quarterbacks last year that all threw over 100 passes. Okay, that is not a good sign, all right? Though Cochran was by far statistically the best last year among that group with 63% completion and 11 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. They returned some other starters, Matt. The big one would be Jeremy Davis, the wide receiver, and a few others. Quite frankly, this offense was not very good last year. Ranked, where is this, in the NCAA, they were ranked, I'll get there eventually. Passing yards, they were 66th, and rushing yards, they were 122nd. In total rushing yards. And in defense, they weren't much better than that. 108th in points for, and then 86. They gave up 30.3 points a game last year.
Mm.
Though Virginia is also not good, and we should have beat them last year, Bronco, besides that Virginia game and one or two other games in his career, he does not lose to teams we should easily beat. And this is going to be no difference. We'll get to our predictions here in a minute. Any other thoughts on the Huskies?
Their quarterback has a mullet.
He also, yes, he does. And he also said we play in a very nice conference.
Yeah, I heard that. Hello. So, you know what that statement says to me, really?
No,
you
I don't.
It says, listen, if he were playing a team from the SEC, would he say that? If he were playing a team from the Big 12, would he say that?
No, he would not.
He's only saying that because he actually does not think that we play in a good conference, which is also just as ridiculous because we're not in a conference at all, right?
Yes.
But that means he really knows nothing about the program that he's facing. And that may not matter, right?
Right.
But I think the clear message there is he's got no clue what he's talking about.
That is absolutely correct.
He's somewhere on the spectrum between I have no clue and I don't think this team is really that good.
So
that's the message that says to me.
Yes. He is clearly, in the end, it doesn't really matter. I mean, we'll get to the depth chart here in a minute for this game that was announced. But, you know, we'll get to our predictions too. I don't think it's going to matter whether this guy knew who we were or didn't, quite honestly, because by the end of the game, he's going to know BYU pretty well. Because they're going to be in the backfield with them a lot. So let's hop to... And by the way, last year, according to Football Outsiders, they were the 97th best team in the country. Worse than Rutgers and Wyoming.
108th in points for.
Yes, 108th in points for. Okay, so Virginia was not a great team. We definitely, I know they were 2-10, but they played a much tougher schedule than UConn did. And UConn finished with one more victory. Okay, so anyway, let's talk about Taysom, Matt. Surprise, surprise, he was top on the depth chart for quarterback.
Shocker.
Shocker. So let's do a little over-under, Matt, on Taysom. Over-under 250 passing yards for Taysom Hill against UConn.
Over.
I'm going to say under, and we'll get to why in a minute. Over, under 100 yards rushing for Taysom.
Over.
I'm also going to say over. Over, under 550 total yards in offense for the Cougars.
Ooh. I'm going to come in under.
Hey, hold on. I'm not the best in the business for nothing.
No, it's got to be. It's got to be over. Based on what I just said, take the over mathematically.
You probably should do that, yeah. So last year, BYU averaged 494 yards of offense per game. Now, granted, a lot of that's because they ran, you know, what, 85 plays a game or something crazy like that? So I think we're way over, quite frankly. I think it's 600-ish. Total yards, but I think we run all over them. I think Kine has a big game. I think Taysom has a big game. And I think he will throw for 200-plus yards, but I think Christian Stewart may be slinging the ball around in the late third and early fourth quarter. So
that. You really think so?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll get to our predictions here in a minute, amigo.
I hope they just unload on these guys.
Over under 60% passing completion for Mr. Taysom Hill in this game.
I'm going to have to take the over here.
I am going to take the over.
Where I want to win yardage, yeah.
As well. Well, let's jump to some tweet bag questions, Matt.
tweet back
that revolve around this. And let's talk. Let me see if I can find it. I know I saw one about. Oh, here it is, from Justin Whiting at JN Whiting on Twitter. Does Leslie have more or less than three TD catches? I'm trying to decide if Justin was saying for the season or in this game. So we'll do both.
Hope we stand for this game.
Let's first over under 2.5 touchdown catches for Leslie in this game.
I'm going to take the under here.
I will as well. Over under 3.5 touchdown catches on the year.
Over.
So last year, Matthew, why do I call you Matthew sometimes?
I don't know. It's a little bit weird.
Does anyone call you Matthew anymore?
Not a single person. Well, people who don't know me.
Maybe I don't know you.
Like people who've only seen my work email address and don't pay attention to the signature at the bottom of replies, they'll call me Matthew.
It's like you're in trouble or something. Matthew!
It doesn't even feel like that because I was not even called Matthew when I was in trouble when I was little.
No,
nobody ever called me Matthew.
I don't ever remember anyone calling you Matthew. Did you have a girlfriend that called you Matthew?
There may have been.
I can't remember.
There may have been a couple of girls along the way that have called me Matthew, but you'll notice that none of them lasted.
Good point. All right. So, Matt, last year, Cody Hoffman led the team with 5 touchdown passes. The only other person to break 3 was Mitch Matthews with 4 of his 23 catches, by the way, were for touchdowns. So over under 3.5 for Leslie on the season touchdown catches.
I'm still saying over.
I'm still saying over. I actually think he will lead the team in touchdown receptions, catches, and probably yards.
Yes, I agree.
By the end of the year. Even though I might have said Kurtz before, but obviously he is not going to lead them this year with the unfortunate injury he had.
Can I just throw out a bold prediction right now?
Yes.
Leslie is going to have a season in 2014 that will be one for the ages. It will be a season of which we will speak for years to come.
Really? You're
yes.
that confident? I mean, I think he's going to have a very good season, but I think you're talking more than what I'm saying.
I think that years from now, when you're doing your, like, or we're doing an all-time team or top 5 in each position and those kinds of things, I believe he enters that discussion with a single season.
So the single season reception record is 106 by Austin Colley, done in 2008. Hoffman, of course, and Jay Miller each have 100 catches in 2012 and 1973, respectively. Over under 92.5 receptions for Jordan Leslie.
I'm going to go just under because I think he gets into the discussion. I don't think he's like the best receiver of all time, but
over,
I think he gets into the discussion.
Over under 1,100 receiving yards.
Over.
Over under 7.5 touchdown receptions.
Over.
Fascinating, fascinating. I think I'm close.
I don't know why I feel this way. I don't know, but I got this. I don't know. It's just a feeling.
Because we've seen him play, right? I mean, even though he's in a new offense, this guy, he has hands. I mean, really good hands. So, I mean, someone's saying out there, thanks, Captain Obvious. But, I mean, he can really catch the ball.
He has 2 hands. Sometimes he puts gloves on them.
And because of the depth at wide receiver, unlike Hoffman, where he could often be double-teamed and sometimes triple-teamed if you count the safety, you know, cheating his direction a little bit, I don't think they're going to really be able to double-team anyone a lot this year, or they're going to give up big plays. So it might happen early in the year.
And I think that helps.
Absolutely, absolutely. So other tweet bag questions about the roster, Matt. So we're not going to read the roster. You can find it. I just retweeted it on Twitter, so look at our feed. We got it courtesy of BYU Sports Nation. But Matt, some surprises. And so Justin Sweeney asks us, that's at Justin D. Sweeney, biggest surprise omission from the 2-deep? No Riker Matthews, no Trent Trammell, or no Harvey Jackson? So Matt, what would be the biggest surprise for you?
No Trent Trammell.
Mm. That is not the biggest surprise for me, though all three of those were very surprising. I have to say Riker Matthews, though there is some rumors of suspensions. I don't know anything about that, but I thought he'd be on here. And also, Terrence Aletto? I don't know how to say it.
That one wasn't on the list, though, of ones that were surprises, but that's my big surprise.
He was the starter, and it seemed like he wasn't going to be. So that's interesting.
I'm not even sure we thought he was going to get onto the two deep and play much at all.
No, I did not have him on the radar as a starter. And again, it's really hard to know because we get very spotty coverage of practices, right? And the press hasn't been in them for a few days. The other surprises to me was Louis Lapuaho.
Okay, Lapuaho.
Say it again.
Louis Lapuaho.
Yeah, there you go. You're much better at the pronunciation than I am. Freshman starting it on the blind side of Taysom Hill. It's not a shocker, but they must be really impressed with him to let that happen.
Word is that he is a full grown man.
Listed
and
at
I think
6'5".
That it's 6'5", 333. I think the numbers bear it out. But yeah. There are a couple things here on the offensive line that I think there are some surprises. You know, the lack of Riker Matthews, a freshman starting at left tackle with your right-handed mobile quarterback, Terrence Aletto getting the nod at center. And, you know, we talked about this, I think it was last week or the week before. You know, have we bought into this change of culture on the offensive line? And I had. But when I looked at this depth chart today, it makes me a little bit nervous because this is not the offensive line that I think we were expecting to see. So it makes me wonder if some of these guys we were excited about just weren't prepared. And then I want to know, you know, are these guys that took their place, these guys that came up and grabbed these spots, are they ready? Are they ready to do that? Are they ready to play that way? And I guess we'll have to see.
Interesting, because I viewed it the other direction. I saw it as a good sign that some of these guys, the system is bought in and things are going well, and some of these guys just outplayed the other guys. And now that we have maybe some depth and some more skill at that position, the cream is rising to the top. That's how
I'll
saw it.
One of the things I love, though, is that both of our tackles weigh 330 pounds.
Yeah,
and all of these guys are, with the exception of Braden Kersley, these guys are all above three bills.
Well, and Kersley is a mean man.
Right. And so I like that. I like the size. I think that's hurt us in the past. We just now the next step, the next thing I want to see is, are these guys mean?
Yep. Are they going to put people in the ground?
Yes.
Yep. And I think, how do you say his name again?
Louis Lapuaho?
The word by the press that cover the team is he is mean. So,
yes.
And a big guy and very strong. So we'll see how that works out. Matt,
he's
also
a big, strong man.
Surprises on offense, Taron Houck, starting as the slot wide receiver, 6'5", 223 junior. Honestly, when I saw that, my response was who?
Yeah, totally off the radar for me as well.
I did not see that one coming. Now, granted, there are some injuries and suspensions that are playing into this. The rest, the offense was fairly predictable. On defense, not that it wasn't predictable, but the linebacker core, Zach Stout starting as a senior, starting over the recently returned missionary with less than 10% body fat, Harvey Lange.
You love mentioning that.
Oh my, that's insane to me. How is that even possible? So David Nixon was on BYU Sports Nation this morning and said he lost 40 pounds on his mission.
Yeah.
He went from like 230-something to 190 when he came home. And Harvey Lange comes back and basically looks like they dropped a Greek statue out of the sky. You know what I mean? Like,
you've got a little bit of a man crush on him, don't you?
I just think it's really cool. And I thought he was going to play running back, and I'm still a little disappointed that we don't get to see him play running back. Because if you've seen those highlights
in
high school when he played running back, he was something to see. But it's probably the right decision. But he will back up Zach Stout. And also in the middle is Manoah Pakula, who was, I think, the leading returning tackler, if I'm not mistaken. And then in the defensive backfield, as Justin mentioned, Trent Trimmell and Harvey Jackson were not there. I'm not that surprised because I thought Robertson Daniel was going to be a starter as one of the corners, and I thought Johnson was going to be the other one. So I'm not shocked, actually, because Daniel's run support, as we talked about a lot last year, I think he's one of the best tackling corners BYU has ever had. And he makes tackles, and he's a big guy. So I'm not shocked as much by Trimmell and Harvey Jackson as maybe some others are.
I'll tell you what I'm excited about, though. I have absolute confidence in this defensive secondary.
Absolutely. And Michael Davis is just sitting there waiting to come in as well if somebody goes down. And though Sky Povey, if I see him as a corner, I'm not a big fan, but I think he is a capable backup for Bills as the free safety.
Yeah, and I think Bills is going to make some plays back there.
Yes.
There's a great spot for him.
And former quarterback Dallin Leavitt taking Daniel Sorensen's spot as the cat safety. So pretty cool. I am cautiously optimistic. The defensive line, quite frankly, is it's a lot of unknown.
Yeah.
And we'll see how that defensive line performs. Though, quite frankly, this time I'm not sure that they're really going to get tested.
No, we will not. We still will not know the answer to that question. Unless they turn in some type of ridiculously dominating performance, I think we just still won't know what we've got there.
Yes, agreed. So that's the two deep depth chart for the UConn game. Matt, how much are we going to miss Jamal in this game? Do you think it really matters at all to the end performance of our offense?
Well, I think there's two different questions there. One, the first one, just how much are we going to miss Jamal? I'm going to miss him a lot, just because I love watching him play football. But as far as the performance of the team goes, I don't think that his loss is going to have much of an impact here, just for the fact that I don't know that when we get into the Adam Hine level or the Paul Asike level of the depth chart here that we are in a situation that the UConn defense is going to shut these guys down.
Yeah.
So I think we can still run the football just as we would otherwise. And I think the offense is able to do exactly what they would have done anyway.
Yeah. I think the offense will have no problems against this defense. And I also think the defense will have no problems against this offense. We'll get to our predictions here again in a second, but I am with you. I will miss him, but I don't think it really factors in to the game. So, Matt, over under 300 total yards in offense for the Connecticut Huskies.
Under.
So I don't understand why you're so shocked that I think Christian Stewart's going to be in this game. I'm not quite sure why you're so shocked at that, but
I think we're going to destroy these guys and lay it on for 3.5 quarters.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so final score predictions, Matt. Who you got and by how much?
I've got the Cougars 35-7.
35-7. I like it.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Friday night. Let's look at the their line for the BYU Connecticut game. There is, depending on which casino you would like to just see, because we're not encouraging any type of gambling, 17 or 16.5 points. You are definitely taking the over.
I'm taking the way over.
And so am I.
This is easy money.
Final score. 42-10.
So, 42-10.
I think we put up a lot of points and a lot of yards. And all this ridiculousness about, oh, we struggle in East Coast openers. There have been like two.
Listen,
two games.
The only reason we're talking about that is the weirdness that was the Virginia game last year.
Yes.
That is a silly storyline that is only there because we had a weird game in Virginia, and it's August, and we don't know what else to talk about. That's the
Correct.
Only reason anybody's even saying that.
Correct. I don't. I think it's silly. Okay, I do. And let's hopefully on Friday night we will put that to bed and that that narrative can just disappear.
Move on.
Okay. So, Matt, we predicted the UConn game. We're both very excited to watch the Cougars maul the Huskies. See what I did there?
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I could be a sports announcer.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at this. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about final season. We're not going to go through each game like we did like 8 times over the last 5 months.
But oh, man.
How many wins, how many losses does BYU have headed into the bowl game?
I'm stalling because my computer isn't switching over to the schedule as quickly as I wanted.
Two? All right. Three?
Two. No. Oh, not three. Come on.
Is three a disaster?
With this schedule, three is very disappointing. Yeah. I'd say, but two is completely reasonable.
I think they lose two games. I just can't decide after Texas. We both agreed several weeks ago that we thought they'd lose in Austin. I can't decide if it's Houston, UCF, or Boise. And probably I lean towards UCF or Boise just because it's on the road.
I leaned away from Boise. I would lean towards Houston or UCF.
Really? Mm-hmm. You just think too much turnover with Broncos. But we'll get to find out. They open up against a good old Miss team. And that'll be a really good barometer. Like, Texas opens up against, like, North Texas or somebody, right?
Yeah, we don't really know anything.
North Texas. So we won't know anything. And I think Houston opens up with...
I knew this because I saw it on a billboard.
Sam Austin? No, not Sam.
Yeah,
Austin.
Sam Houston State, maybe.
No, it's University of Texas San Antonio. That's who it is.
Oh, that's right.
So
that's
again, right. We won't have any, and their second game is Grambling State. So by the time we play them, we won't really have much of an idea of their team this year.
I'll tell you something that will be interesting is that we have a common opponent with Boise State. They're going to play Connecticut in the third week.
Yes. That'll give us that'll help us. And then again, UCF will have a good idea. Now, granted, actually, we won't because they do play Penn State in Ireland on Saturday. But those games
are
weird.
That game, and that game is also subject to delay because of some volcano in Iceland.
But regardless, assuming it happens, it's those games are so weird with the traveling overseas. I don't know if you can really say anything. But they do play in week 3 Missouri on the road. So there's before we play them, they will have played Houston, a mutual opponent, and Missouri and Penn State. So we'll have some decent ideas on how they are sans Bortles, right? So you're saying, so over under 1.5 losses for BYU. I'm going over. I think they're going to lose two games.
Yeah, it's tough for me to say that, but I think you're probably right. I really want to take the under here.
I think there's a high probability, way greater than zero, that we lose just one game. I think with this schedule, even though it's not nearly as difficult as last year or as difficult as 2015 will be, I think you stumble once this season at least. I think going undefeated is highly unlikely unless the four opponents we talked about, Texas, Houston, UCF, and Boise State, happen to be a lot worse than we think they are.
Mm-hmm.
Which then makes your schedule look worse, right? Because if they're all mediocre, then it really wasn't that tough of a schedule. But we'll see. So we're both predicting two losses for the Cougars.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. By the way, I didn't mention this before, but was going to bring it up. The timing of the Miami Beach Bowl is terrible. A 2 p.m. Eastern start on Monday, December 22nd.
Lame sauce.
Oh, my gosh. That is absolutely terrible. So the one criticism I have of independent scheduling is the bowl games. And I don't know that there is a easy way around it or anything. This just may be what we have to get used to is mediocre bowls, right?
Yeah, I don't know what else to do, right?
Because 2015, we're not scheduled in one, right? Mm-hmm. In 2016, we're back in the Poinsettia Bowl in San Diego. So I think we've just gotta own up to the fact that the bowl games, unless we, you know, break through into the playoff, which again I don't, but it's likely. Matt, that's a good question. Any chance BYU breaks into the football playoff this year?
No, I think with an undefeated season, I think you have a really hard time getting in.
So how many conferences are there in the Power Five conferences, Matt? I'm not very good at math.
I believe that that number is five.
That number is five. And how many spots are there in the playoffs?
It'd be less than that.
Less than that. So there's four spots in the playoffs. That means at least one conference champion, possibly more than that, depending on the scenario, will not be in the playoffs. Are you telling me they're going to put an independent team or a non-power conference team in the first ever football playoffs? I don't think any of the non-P5 teams have the schedule to make it happen. I heard Tim Brando on Twitter say something about East Carolina. They have the schedule to do it. They're just not going to do it.
Here's what we would need. We would need to beat Texas, and then they would need to win the Big 12. We would need to beat Virginia, and then they would also need to win their conference. The same would probably be true for Central Florida and maybe California. If all four of those teams lose to BYU and win their respective conferences, we're good. The problem is that's just never going to happen.
I think Texas winning the Big 12 is a possibility. I don't think it's likely. But I think Strong is a good enough coach that he could pull something like that off, even shopping with somebody else's groceries, as they say.
So if Texas wins the Big 12 and BYU runs the table, does BYU have a shot?
No, they do not.
If one of those other teams, say Virginia, wins their conference and BYU runs the table, does BYU have a shot?
Yes. You've beaten two of the Power Five conference champions. Yes.
So then you're good. But what if your second conference champion win is, I guess California would be in the same boat. What if it's Central Florida or Boise State?
Doesn't matter. That is irrelevant. Because Boise State is likely to win the Mountain West. I shouldn't say likely. They've got a legitimate shot. And certainly UCF has a shot at the American, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But no, I think... with this particular schedule, Virginia and Texas would both have to. And even then, it's not a given.
And I think the odds of Virginia doing that are slim to none.
Pretty low. Pretty low. I don't think they're a good enough team to pull that off. But I'll tell you what. The way to prove all this wrong is go out and win all the games.
Yep.
And though I think it's possible, I do not think it's very likely. I think, you know, I don't think our defense is experienced enough. And I'm still not 100% convinced that the offense will be a lot better than last year. We'll see. I mean, I believe it will be, but then you got to go out there and actually prove that.
Right.
Which hopefully they will. So Matt, let's finish up here with a couple more tweet bag questions, and then we'll be done. So let's see. Jed Higginson asked one of the best questions ever, and we're not going to do it this time, but we will save it, Jed, which is about time for another Marvel movie snake draft, don't you think? But you have not seen Guardians of the Galaxy,
nope.
And we cannot hold that draft until you do.
Okay. So it sounds like I have an assignment from the Twitterverse.
You have an assignment. So excellent question, Jed, but we're not doing it yet. So at Jed Higgy also asks, already planning my away game next year, considering Michigan, Nebraska, UCLA, which one? Matt, I think both of us are going to agree on this. Who you got if you can only go to one game?
You must see them all.
That's ridiculous. That's not what I asked.
Michigan.
Michigan, hands down, right? Is it close with you in Nebraska going to Lincoln?
No. It's not.
And is UCLA even in the discussion for you at all?
Yeah, I could get there. It's close. But I think that you got a chance to go see a game at Michigan. I think you got to go.
UCLA.
I think there'd be other opportunities to get out to UCLA.
UCLA is not the Rose Bowl is an historic stadium, right?
Right.
So that I'll give it. But as far as atmosphere goes, I can't imagine beating Ann Arbor or Lincoln.
No.
I can't imagine that. And as we've talked about, that opening five-game set, Nebraska, Boise State, at UCLA, at Michigan, and then East Carolina, holy shnikes. I'll tell you what, next year, if they go 5-0, we can be talking a shot at the playoff. Even then, I still think it's not likely. But we shall see. We shall see. A couple more Twitter questions. Andre Hutchins, that's at AC Hutchins, he links us to a SB Nation map where BYU is listed as the favorite college football team of the state of Utah. Was that really a shock to you?
No.
No. Look at the population of Mormons there. I mean, plus, is there any other school in Utah that's worth rooting for?
No.
No. Weber State, maybe? Sometimes good at basketball. So that's our tweet bag, Matt. That's what
there
we got.
Tweet bag.
Tweet bag. So Matt, how excited on a scale of 0 to 100?
4,000.
I didn't even finish. I said 100 is going to be totally unexcited.
Oh, my answer's still 4,000.
I'm just excited that next week, on the podcast, we will be talking about an actual football game and what happened.
Are you kidding me? Yes.
And we'll be previewing Texas.
Ah.
So I am stoked beyond stoked for this game. So definitely, we are very thankful for all of you guys tuning in and listening. Go Cougars, I think is what you'll say at the end of this, and I'm stealing your thing, but I just want to start shouting it. You know,
this is awesome.
This is awesome. But anyway, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. Check out other great football coverage at loyalcougars.com, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!
Tonight it's very clear as we're both lying here. There's so many things I want. Say, I will always love you. I would never leave you alone. Sometimes I just fall.